Now, 1 in 8 mortgages is in some form of distress, according to the central bank. Its Deputy Governor Ed Sibley said this week that it's a significant problem, which will require lenders to think more imaginatively to come up with solutions for borrowers. He said extending mortgage repayments for borrowers into their 80s and 90s is one of a range of resolution options. Ed Sibley is with me now in studio. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Are you clear? You say it is a significant problem. Can you paint a picture of the levels of distress in the mortgage market at the moment?
Well, first to say there's a lot has been done to address what was a kind of a legacy problem from the financial crisis, with much work done through restructuring. But where we are today is there's still about 22,000 borrowers who have very significant distress, so arrears of kind of greater than 1 year. About a quarter of those are over 60, so either in kind of at retirement age or heading into retirement. Now, I think it's really important to understand that within that group, there's quite a lot of difference. So there are borrowers who are making kind of nearly their full monthly repayment, but might have some legacy problems, some legacy arrears. There are those that are making significant payments, but probably need some deeper help to get them out of trouble. And there's then a third group who are probably their repayment capacity is so impaired that a restructure perhaps isn't going to help them, and they need some other help, for instance, through the insolvency
and
service.
How much of the problem is related to COVID, where some industries would have been shut down?
So very little of this would be related directly to COVID. I think probably what COVID has done is it has delayed or caused difficulty in trying to address these kind of legacy problems, primarily through the use of payment breaks. Those businesses and households that were affected by COVID were supported and have primarily got back on their feet, including through the government supports that have been made available.
So are lenders then doing enough to deal with this problem, this significant problem, as you say?
So I think lenders have done a lot, but I think that they can do more. So if we think about those kind of different groupings of borrowers, I think that there are solutions that are being put in place for those that are kind of at the top of those groupings. But I think lenders can do a little bit more to kind of make sure that they're using the right solution for those borrowers. What I'd like them to be doing is kind of be more innovative, a little bit more innovative for those borrowers that perhaps need more help, so a deeper restructure. I think lenders can also do better to engage in terms of their engagement with the insolvency service through insolvency practitioners. And then finally, we're also pushing lenders to make sure they continue to strive to engage with borrowers, because really importantly, that engagement between borrower and lender is absolutely crucial to solving these problems. And about half of those kind of long-term arrears, the borrower isn't engaging, and those are the people that are most at risk of losing their homes.
One option that you've suggested is restructuring mortgages so that people will continue paying home loans effectively until they die, into their 80s or their 90s if they live that long. That's a lifetime of debt then. Is that really a good solution for an elderly person to be paying a home loan right up till they die?
So really importantly, that wasn't my suggestion. I was asked to comment on a case,
yes,
that had gone to court, the kind of an insolvency case. It's obviously not ideal for borrowers to be paying into retirement. What is, I think, important is to think about is kind of what is affordable to that borrower, and what can be best done to keep them in their homes if that's what they wish to happen. And in certain circumstances where the interest being charged is very low, and there is certainty around the ability of the borrower to repay, that might be a solution that is right for that particular borrower, but it has to be fitted to the borrower's circumstances. There'll be many, many other instances where it's not appropriate, and there'll be better solutions for the borrower. And that's kind of comes back again to that engagement point, tailoring the solution to the individual needs, and for borrowers to be engaged either with their lender or the services that are there through MABS or the insolvency practitioners.
Another option then being looked at is giving more people access to the mortgage to rent scheme, where people could switch from owning a home to renting it as a social house. Does that require a legislative change for more people to access that scheme?
So it has had, there's a lot of good in that scheme. I think it has been quite complicated to operate, and it's taken a long time both from the borrower and the lender to arrange. I would certainly like to see it kind of be used more for those borrowers that are in the deepest levels of distress. There are implications in terms of cost to the state. I know Department of Housing, Department of Finance continue to look at it and see what can be done to make it more available as part of that kind of full suite of options that are available to solve what is still kind of a pretty significant problem with lots of distress for the individual borrowers.
With so many people in trouble and with a number of banks now exiting the market, and therefore no reputational issues for them if they pursue people in mortgage distress for their properties, are we likely to see more repossessions?
I mean, I don't think so. What has happened is that the majority of those borrowers who are in deeper distress, most of those loans have or are going to be held by the non-banks, so retail credit firms and credit servicing firms. We have very heavily engaged with those lenders. We've outlined our expectations to them. It comes back to that point about engagement. And if the borrower and the lender are engaging, or the borrower is engaging through the other supports that are available, then they have a lot of protections in place. And the cases that have kind of recently come through the courts, those that are kind of getting personal insolvency arrangements or potentially mortgage to rent, show that there are solutions that are in place for those borrowers who do engage.
What are the solutions that you would like to see then? What is not being pursued by the lenders, which you think should be?
So I think it's that there's a bit of a gap between those that are at the kind of upper end of repayment and those that can't afford, that are kind of really struggling. So those that perhaps potentially can afford to pay half their mortgage, for example. Now, in 5 or 6 years ago, we used a lot of split mortgages, so kind of warehouse part of the mortgage to buy some time to give to kind of put the situation much more under control. Split mortgages are tending not to be used now. It's also fair to say that some of these borrowers are paying higher interest rates than are currently available in the market. So I think combination of looking at potentially splits or kind of warehousing some of the debt, lowering interest rates where suitable and where the borrower is engaging and paying what they can afford. I think those are areas that could be further looked at by the lenders.
All right, just one final question for you then. It's around the central bank's lending rules. A number of developers have publicly said recently that the rules which restrict the amount a borrower can borrow from a lender, that they are hampering supply in the marketplace because you don't have enough mortgage-backed customers to finance smaller housing projects. What's your response to those developers who are saying those things?
So, I mean, I think it's really, you know, the mortgage measures themselves are very important, and we completely understand how impactful they are. We can see that they provided a lot of resilience for and protection for borrowers, and indeed it's connected with the points that we've just been talking about. We can see that they become more constraining as house prices rise. But I think it's also fair to say that the gap between household income and house prices would be significantly higher were their mortgage measures not in place. So what we're talking about here is if they weren't in place, more indebtedness, less resilient borrowers to shocks, including the ones we've just been through in the pandemic, and the system as a whole less resilient. But as I said, we do recognise the impactfulness of the measures. We have consulted widely this year, including directly with developers, as well as public consultation. The outcome of that consultation we're reviewing at the moment, okay. And we'll announce the outcome of that review later this year.
Ed Sibley, Deputy Governor of the Central Bank, thank you very much indeed for coming to talk to us.
Thank you very much, Justin.